Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Oh yes, what are we talking about on these Wednesday nights? Being clothed, being dressed spiritually. So just like we get dressed naturally, physically, we do that, you know. We just do that. We know that's automatic. Well, guess what? Getting dressed spiritually needs to be automatic also. It just needs to be something we do automatically. So we looked at all these different scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament, that talks about the various different spiritual clothing that you and I are to be wearing. But I want you to notice here in Psalm 93, verse 1, it says, "The Lord reigns. He is clothed. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. Surely the world is established so that it cannot be moved." Notice this about God. God himself wears clothing. He is clothed. He is clothed with majesty. I love that word majesty. That's something God puts on. He puts on majesty, which means magnificence, splendor, dignity, excellence, excellence. God puts on excellence. You know, just like with us, nothing's automatic in life. It's all an act of our will. Things don't just happen. Things happen because people make choices. Well, I got news for you. Things don't just happen with God either. God makes choices. God purposes to do things. He makes the decision and he clothes himself with excellence. He clothes himself with dignity, splendor, worth, value. And then notice that word there, gird. He has girded himself with strength. I mean, that word gird means to secure a garment on the body with a belt. So God puts this belt of strength on. He girds himself with strength. So how does he do that? How are we to put our spiritual clothing on? How can we gird ourselves with strength? How can we do that? Well, we've been talking about how to do that in this series, and one of the ways we do it, the main way we do it, is through the words we speak. Remember over there in Joel chapter 3, in verse 10, it says, "Let the weak say, I am strong." Now that sounds ridiculous. If you're weak, what do you typically say when you're weak? Man, I feel so weak. I feel so tired. I feel so worn out. I have no energy. And that's what we say. Usually, when we are weak, that's the typical thing people say in the natural. But God is renewing our mind with his word, and we need to say the opposite of what we're feeling when what we're feeling is not what we want. And we can gird ourselves with strength when we're weak by doing what Joel says, "Let the weak say, I am strong. I am strong." And as we speak those words, "I am strong," we are releasing our faith in God, in his ability, and in his strength. Because in the natural, yeah, we feel weak, but we don't walk by the natural. We don't walk by sight. We don't walk by how we feel. We walk by faith in God, an all-powerful God. He doesn't come short in strength. So by faith we declare, "I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And when we do that, we access his strength, thus putting that strength on to replace our human weaknesses. So we need to speak what we want. What you say is what you wear. What you say is what you wear. So if you don't like what you're wearing, if you don't like the conditions of things, start speaking what you want. Start speaking what you want to have and not just what you've been having. So God puts things on. He covers himself. That's why people wear clothing, is so that they cover themselves. God covers himself. And we see throughout the Old Testament that God covers himself with a cloud. Many times when God would manifest to the people, he would manifest in a cloud. In fact, over in Exodus chapter 19, why don't we go there tonight? Exodus the 19th chapter. And I love this scripture. This is when the children of Israel, they've come out of Egypt. God's brought them out now into the wilderness. And he wants to prepare them to bring them into this promised land that he has for them. And he tells Moses that he wants to come and he wants to meet with the people. He wants to come down on this mountain, Mount Sinai, and meet with the people. And so here in Exodus 19, God says to Moses in verse 9, "And the Lord said to Moses, Behold, I come to you in the thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever." So Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. So Moses would go to the Lord. The Lord would speak things to him about what he wanted to do. And then Moses would go tell the people. And here it says that I come to you in the thick cloud. Now, why would God be in a thick cloud? To cover himself. To cover himself. Notice verse 16 of Exodus 19. It says, "Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain." Now, Mount Sinai was completely in smoke. So, I mean, just imagine this. You know, you're coming out, and you're going to meet with God, and here God's coming down on this mountain, and it's just, there's thunder, there's lightning, and there's this dark, thick cloud that is covering the mountain where God is. And then it says, "Its smoke ascended like the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the blast of the trumpet sounded long and became louder and louder, Moses spoke, and God answered him by voice. Then the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. And the Lord said to Moses, Go down and warn the people, lest they break through to gaze at the Lord, and many of them perish. Also let the priests who come near the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break out against them." And Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, Set bounds around the mountain and sanctify it." So God has already told Moses to sanctify this mountain. He's already given him instruction to give to the people to not come up the mountain, not try to break through, to gaze at the Lord. Moses already given this instruction. They've already set boundaries around the mountain. So now Moses goes up and God tells him again, go down and warn the people not to break through and try to look upon me. Not try to look inside the cloud. He's warning them again. So Moses is like, well, they can't do it. I, we've already set up the boundaries. We did everything you told us to do. Verse 24, then the Lord said to him, "Away, get down, and then come up, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. So you can really see here how serious this is to God. There's no playing around here. There's not going to be any casual gazing at God. Nobody that is unauthorized is to come up this mountain. God's very serious about it. Very serious about it. One of the reasons why God is saying this and is so protective of himself is because he wants to protect the people. Because how many people know God is powerful and awesome? And if you just walk into his awesome, powerful presence as a sinner, that power could destroy you. It would destroy you. You remember over in Exodus, I think it's Exodus 33, where the Lord said, nobody can see his face and live. Nobody can see his face and live. You can't just look upon God and live. I mean, you think about it. You know, when we had the eclipse, you had to get special glasses to look at the eclipse. You couldn't just look up at the eclipse unless you wanted to kill your eyesight. That's looking at the sun. The sun is a spitball to God. It's nothing. When he spoke, suns, all kinds of planets came out of his mouth when he spoke. So if the sun is that awesome, how much more awesome is the creator of it? I mean, he's just overwhelmingly glorious, awesome. Too awesome to even look upon him. You know, people that test nuclear bombs, they got to wear those same special glasses. So we're talking about God now. So number one, God covers himself. God clothes himself with this cloud to protect the people. To protect the people from looking upon, just casually gazing upon him and being destroyed as a result of it. Notice it goes on here. It says in chapter 20, verse 18, and now all the people witnessed the thunderings, the lightning flashes, the sound of the trumpet, the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. And Moses said to the people, do not fear, for God has come to test you, that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. That tells us right there what's going to keep us from sinning. What keeps people from sinning? The fear of God. The fear of God. There's a terrible lack of the fear of God in much of the church world today. People treat God so casual, like he's just their buddy. And that's fine, you know, he calls us his friend, but that's not all he is. He's God Almighty. He's awesome, and he is to be feared. And it's the fear of him that will keep people from sinning against him. So God is wanting to instill some fear into these people. They're used to worshiping golden calves and in Egypt, images to rocks, to all kinds of stuff, you know, statues. And they would worship all these things that there was nothing to fear. I think that's one of the reasons why people pick cows to be their God and statues to be their God, because they're greater than them. They're greater than the cow. They're greater than the statue. And so it's really nice to worship something that you're bigger than. That really keeps you in control, doesn't it? And that's what people like. People like being in control. So God said, no, come out here. And now don't you come up here. I'm going to come, and I'm coming in a dark, thick cloud. So that the fear of me would be in you, that you see that I'm not like all these so-called gods that you've been seeing people worship in Egypt. You're going to realize I am the living God. And so many people today in the church world have just turned God into a religious figure. He's just a religious image in their heart. But we have to realize God is not just a doctrine. He's not just a teaching. He's not just a church. He's not just a church service. He is God Almighty. He is alive. He is holy. He is powerful. He is awesome. Like I said, he's the one that created the sun and created planets that make the planet Earth look like nothing in comparison. He is big. He is awesome. He is amazing. And we have to remind ourselves of that all the time. Remind ourselves of the reality of this all-powerful, almighty God. And sometimes when he becomes so real to you like that, and you start recognizing how amazing, how big, how awesome he is, then about that time I remind myself how personal he is. How personal he is. How much he loves me, how much he is aware of everything I'm doing in life, and that every little thing that I do, he is interested in. He's interested in every little detail of our lives. Because, you know, about the time you get a revelation how big he is, then you start feeling like, you know, what am I? I mean, he don't have time for me. I mean, I'm a little nothing. And then you got to remind yourself, yeah, but he died for you. He loves you so much. He died for you, gave his life for you. He calls you his son, welcomes you into his family. See, but if we just emphasize over here how we're welcomed into his family and we're his children and we're, you know, sons and daughters of God and you know, he's our father and Jesus is our Lord. He's our brother. And we emphasize the personal, then we could begin to lose sight of who we're actually talking about that has actually made us his children and who calls himself our father. See, we just think Father, he's our Father, and Jesus is our friend, and you know, he's closer than a brother, and we keep it on this personal level, things that we identify with, then it's easy to just see him on our level. God is just on our level. Brother, father, family, buddy, pal. And we gotta watch that. We gotta realize, no. He's mega, he's amazing, he's awesome. He's to be feared. And he makes himself my father. Got to keep that balance. Keep the proper perspective. If we're going to keep ourselves out of sin. And we all want to keep ourselves out of sin. Because there's nothing good in sin. Sin just brings death. Sin just destroys our lives. Thank God we've been redeemed from sin. Can you say amen? So, verse 21 goes on, it says, so the people stood afar off, but Moses drew near the thick darkness where God was. Notice, God wasn't the thick darkness. He was not the thick darkness. It was where God was. He was by or in or near the thick darkness. He was hidden in the thick darkness. He was clothed with that darkness, but he was not the darkness. He was not the cloud. So whenever you see in the Word of God where the cloud is manifesting, and there's several scriptures on it where the cloud, you know, would manifest and they would see the glory of God, we have to understand the cloud is not God. The cloud is his covering. And he covers himself, number one, to protect us from being destroyed by his brilliance, by his power, by his splendor. That's number one. Over in Leviticus chapter 16, after God had instructed Moses to set up the tabernacle where the people were to come and worship God, and he gave very specific instructions on how they were to approach him, how they were to worship him. They weren't just to worship him any old way they felt like worshiping him. They had to approach him the way he instructed them to, lest they die. God, again, had to be reverenced. He had to be feared. You had to approach him a certain way. And over in Leviticus 16 and in verse 2, it says, "And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron, your brother, not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil." Remember, Aaron, Moses' brother, was made high priest of the tabernacle, of this place of worship, this holy place. And he says, tell your brother not to come at just any time into the holy place inside the veil. You'll remember there was three compartments to this holy place: the outer court, the inner court, and then the Holy of Holies. And so that's the place he's talking about. He's talking about that Holy of Holies, because in that Holy of Holies is where God himself was manifested. He was inside that Holy of Holies, all right? So he's saying, you can't just come walking in there anytime you want. You just can't go through the veil and enter in that place before the mercy seat, which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the cloud above the mercy seat. Now he brings a little bit more understanding to that. See, there's got to be this cloud first, because the cloud is the covering. That's God's covering. God covers himself, all right? Just like we cover ourselves. God covers himself. And so here he covers himself in the cloud. So he says, don't let him just come walking in there. He's got to come in when I'm wearing the cloud, when there's a cloud, all right? And then he says this in verse 13, that when the priest would come in, before he would go inside that veil, he would go over to this table of incense, and he would get himself some incense, and then he would have incense go up in front of the veil. And notice what it says in verse 13 of Leviticus 16. It says, and he shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the cloud of the that the cloud of the incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the testimony, lest he die. So again, here's the cloud, and the cloud needs to go first. So there's this cloud God's got to cover himself with, and he's even got the priest having a cloud of incense go up before them before they go in there. You know, just like if there was a bright light, well, we could just talk about the sun. You know, if you look up and there's no clouds in the sky, man, you can't look at the sun. But if there's some cloud coverage, then you can look up at where the sun is located. Isn't that right? And you can even see, you know, depending on how thick the cloud coverage is, you can see the light of the sun coming through the clouds. But you can look at it. It's not blinding your eyes. It's not too much for you. Well, see, it's the same thing with God. The Bible says God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. So again, we see then that this thick, dark cloud could not be him, because the New Testament says in him there's no darkness at all. So he's not the thick darkness. But he's using the thick darkness as clothing, as a covering, to protect people from being blown away by the awesomeness of the Almighty. So you got to have this cloud, he tells Moses to tell the priest Aaron. He says, you got to have this cloud, you got to have this incense, make it really nice and thick before you come in there at the appointed time. Lest what? Lest you die. Lest it be too much for you. So God covers himself with a cloud, and it's not a good idea to just try to peek in there, blow the cloud away, and just walk through the thing and try to gaze at God. We saw how he was with the children of Israel at Mount Sinai. You don't let those people gaze at me. Don't let them just come up here and look at me. Don't let them break through the barriers. Reinforce it. Very big deal to God. He is to be covered. But you know what? Over here in Isaiah chapter 14 and in verse 14, he talks about Lucifer, how he fell. Verse 12, how you have fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. Well, that tells us right there, Lucifer was not in heaven. People have this idea Lucifer was in heaven. Lucifer was not in heaven. Lucifer was actually here on the earth before Adam and Eve, before mankind was ever created. Now, of course, this is another whole story I'm not going to get into. But he said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Notice this. Lucifer declaring that he is going to ascend above the clouds. And he is going to exalt himself above God and be like the Most High. He is going to break past all boundaries, and he is going to go right in to the presence of God and exalt himself above God. He's going to go above the clouds. Or we could say beyond the barriers that are set for him and begin to intrude into things that he's got no business entering into. Now, for him to do this, he must have thought very highly of himself. Right? He must have thought very highly of himself. He actually thought he was as great as God. He thought he was as big as God. He thought he knew everything there was to know about God. I don't know how long he had been around, but he fell into familiarity, big time. He saw himself equal with God. God's no big deal. And he now is going to intrude into the very presence of God. And of course, when he got there, he got a rude awakening. He found out God was a little bit bigger than him. A little bit bigger than him. And he, of course, he was cast down. Ezekiel 28 says he became a horror upon the earth. He was beautiful, but now he's ugly to look upon. Now he's just this cursed creature of darkness. But I want you to notice that he wanted to gaze upon the Lord, and more than that, he wanted to take God's place. He thought he could just walk in there and take God over. He thought he was just as big as God was. And that didn't work out very good. And it's not going to work out very good for people today. If they feel like, you know, God's just their buddy. And they fall into familiarity with him. That's being religious. That's getting into religion where you're just in familiarity with God. We see it over in Colossians. The Bible warns about it. Chapter 2. Let's do verse 15. He is the image, talking about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. Now, why is this in the Word of God? To remind us who this Jesus is. This Jesus, right? As harmless as a lamb who died on a cross for us. Jesus who walked with people and hugged little children and, our friend Jesus. Jesus, the one who became like us that we could all relate to. He says, well, let me remind you, give you a refresher course about Jesus. That he's the one that created everything. And he is above and before everything. And there's nothing that exists in this world that he did not make. So when you read things like that, take your time when you read it and think about it. Don't just read through that. See that. See what you're reading get that revelation of how great and how awesome he is. And then it goes on. So verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He's great. He's awesome. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, in all things, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Now, chapter 2, verse 18. Let no one defraud you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into things, into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. He says, don't let anybody rob you with all kinds of religiosity. All these people, that they intrude into those things which they haven't seen, which they don't understand, which is too awesome for them, but they're vainly puffed up by their fleshly mind, just like Lucifer. Puffed up in his mind, thinking that he was bigger than he really was. He says, we got to watch, just like Lucifer, you got to watch about intruding into things that you got no business in. And I got news for you. There's a lot of things you have no business in. You know, I remember one time I was talking to the Lord about Joseph. I'm talking about the father of, you know, the supposed father of Jesus. We could say his stepdad. His real father was God, right? And I thought, you know, what happened to Joseph? You know, there's been movies made about Joseph. There's been songs at Christmas time we hear about Joseph. And yet the Bible really doesn't say much about Joseph. So I said, Lord, what happened to Joseph? And I didn't get any answer. So then I started to think about what could have happened to Joseph. And I started to ponder and think about what could have happened to Joseph, with some of the possibilities. And as I was exploring some of those possibilities, you know, talking them out and thinking about them, I mean, it was like somebody punched me in the stomach. I mean, I got such a conviction on the inside, and these words came to me, don't go there. And I said, okay, we're not talking about Joseph. Bible doesn't say anything about Joseph. I ain't going to make up something about Joseph. I'm not going to intrude into something with my fleshly mind, something that is holy. This man who is chosen with Mary to raise the Son of the living God. It is wrong to sit there and begin to just kind of make up things in your mind of possibilities of what could have happened to Joseph. And yet today, in the time we're living in, we got whole movies making up things about Joseph. Whole movies. Mary and Joseph saying things they never said. Acting a certain way, Bible never says they acted that way. We got all kinds of Bible movies. But we like that because it's an entertainment society. But we have to guard ourselves and understand these are holy things. We've been raised in a generation where they take the things of God that are holy, that are awesome, to take these holy men of God, like Joshua, Moses, different ones, and they turn them into vegetables, cartoon figures, and they call it Veggie Tales. This is a very wicked thing. It's a very wicked thing, but because there's so much of it, it seems so normal. It seems like it's okay. It's getting the gospel out. That's not getting the gospel out. That's getting a lie out about the gospel. That's making up things about the gospel. And then, of course, they turn these cucumbers and these different vegetables, turn them into absolute buffoons. I mean, there's absolutely no respect for these holy people that we read about in the Word of God. It's a very wicked thing. But you see, we've been trained this way in this society. This is Christianity, and this is good. This is all right. Listen, the Spirit of God gave me a good shot in the gut. Kind of like he said to Moses, away. Get down and warn the people. It was like, don't go there. Don't even go there. You say, why do other people go there? Because they don't listen. They're not listening to their heart. Because if he warned me, he would warn them too. But some folks aren't interested in being warned. So we just have to watch. We have to protect ourselves. Because that's the world we live in today. The Christian world. Christendom. That you and I are all around all the time today. We must remind ourselves, God is holy. This is his holy word. These are holy men of God that wrote this word that God talks about here, that walked with God. You just don't turn them into whatever you want to turn them into and just make a Hollywood movie out of them. You just don't do that if you have a fear of God, a fear of him. And again, one of the reasons why we fear God and why he covers himself is to protect us from his judgment, from his splendor, from his awesomeness. But God also covers himself to protect himself. To protect himself from others. God himself needs to be protected. What does God need to be protected from? He needs to be protected from being disgraced. He needs to be protected from being degraded, desecrated, debased, dishonored, or despoiled, which means to have his value taken from him. God protects himself because he doesn't want to be stripped of his value and be treated as cheap and common. Thus, shamefully treated. God is not to be shamefully treated. He's not going to allow himself to be shamefully treated. He's not going to allow himself to be violated. He is not cheap. And he is not going to allow himself to be treated as cheap. He's the one that puts on majesty. He puts on excellence, value, worth. And he is not going to allow himself to be treated shamefully, treated as worthless, treated as common. He's protecting himself from those that would treat him lightly and thus despise him. People that would just gaze upon him. That mocks God. The Bible says in Galatians 6, God is not mocked. He is not going to be mocked. He says, whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. He is holy, and we need to treat him as holy. If we want to keep him in our life, if we want to see more of him manifesting in our life, then we have to fear him, respect him, honor him, have the courage like Moses to be able to draw near to him, knowing that we've been washed in the blood of Jesus and that his arms are open to us and he welcomes us into his presence. But yet when we approach him, we need to approach him reverently, respectfully, honoring him. Not just walking in and treating him like, well, it's just God. He's not going to have it. He's going to protect himself from being treated that way. Do you remember in Exodus 20:19, notice that the people said to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. I mean, they were getting a revelation of how awesome he is, and they were like, Moses, you go ahead, you mediate, you talk to us. We don't want God to talk to us. That'll kill us. People had a real fear of dying as a result of seeing God or hearing God. Over in Judges chapter 12, verse 22, this is after the angel of the Lord appeared to the parents of Samson, letting them know that they're going to have a son and God's going to use him mightily. And then, you know, the angel of the Lord did this miracle in their sight and then he disappeared. And all of a sudden they'd realize, this is the angel of the Lord. And so chapter 13, verse 22, it says, And Manoah said to his wife, "We shall surely die because we have seen God." Notice the reaction there. We're going to die. Why? Because we've seen God. I mean, it was such a big deal to them. They thought they were going to die. But his wife said to him, "If the Lord had desired to kill us, he would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hands, nor would he have shown us all these things, nor would he have told us such things as these at this time." So she was helping to calm her husband down and obviously looking at this thinking, "Now, wait a second, we can't die. He just told us he was going to do all these things." But that was their reaction. Over in Exodus chapter 3, you remember when God appeared to Moses for the first time in the burning bush. The Bible says that the Lord said in verse 5, he said, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." In other words, watch how you walk around me. Now here I am, I'm in this bush, I'm manifesting to you, but watch how you approach me. Moreover, he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Why was he afraid to look upon God? Because obviously he was afraid he'd get him killed. Just looking upon him, he felt it would get him killed. We're going to die. Looking at God gets you killed. And remember when God told Adam not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then the serpent came. God told him, "The day you eat of that tree, you're going to die. Now don't go intruding into this. Don't. Now you can have all these other trees, you can have all these, but don't go over here and trespass and get out here and touch this tree that you got no business touching. Because the day you do it, you will die. You will surely die." And what did Satan say? The one that ascended above the clouds? The one that intrudes into holy things? What did he tell him? He said, "You shall not surely die. You shall not surely die. God knows the day you eat of that, you'll be like him. You'll be just like him. Go ahead. The world is yours. Take it. What holds you back? It's there for the taking." And he, of course, he did, and he brought a curse on all humanity. Because again, what? He intruded into something that he had no business touching. There's a reason why things are covered. God himself is covered. He is holy. He's guarded. He's protected. He protects us for our sake, but he also is he covers himself for his own sake. He is guarding and protecting himself. He is not going to be treated cheap. And guess what? You should have the same attitude about you and others. We need to respect others, and we need to respect ourselves. And there are things in our lives that need to be covered, and we need to respect other people, things in their life that need to be covered. Not everything is your business, right? And we live, again, in a world, in a society where nothing is sacred. Everything is like open to the world. Everything is open to everybody. The media, Hollywood, they got no problem just intruding into people's lives and just finding out whatever they can. And they feel like they have a right to know everything about everybody. And of course, the people watching are watching because they have the right to know everything about everybody. And Hollywood's got all kinds of movies where we can get into people's very bedrooms. And we can go in there and we can see things that we ought not to be seeing. But Hollywood says nothing is sacred. You have access to anything you want. You can see anything you want in this world. Just at a click of a button, you can go look at it. You can watch it. You can uncover it. It's all there for you to view, to see, and to partake of. That's the world that we live in today. We're not a part of that. We're holy. I said, we're holy. We're understanding God is holy. So we're not just playing religious games with him. We honor and respect him. We don't just intrude into things. God invites us into things. We don't pick up the Bible to figure out the Bible. God reveals himself to us. We're not going to sit here and come up with our own private interpretation of what the Bible says. We're going to let God reveal himself to us. We reverence him, and we reverence his creation. But there's people in this world, and they've always been here, but they just feel like everything belongs to everybody. And nothing is sacred. And what's yours should be mine. And I should have access to what you have. And nobody should have their own possessions. There's a lot of people rising up in this nation. And it's in Hollywood. It's in the media. It's in Washington. It's all over the place. It's in our schools. This idea that everything belongs to everybody. And nobody should have their own property, their own possessions. You know, I'm reminded of John Lennon. And he wrote a song called Imagine. How many people remember John Lennon? And he wrote a song called Imagine. Just so happens I have the lyrics right here. And here's his song. And his song, it's more than a song. It's a philosophy. It's an idea. It's a belief that a lot of people have embraced. It's called Imagine. Imagine there's no heaven. That's how it starts. Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us. Above us, only sky. Imagine the people, all the people living for today. No eternity. You don't have to worry about eternity. You don't have to worry about a God. Just live for the moment. Live for today. Imagine that. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. So no country, no patriotism, no religion. These are things that cause people to die. Did you know that? Did you know countries is why people die? No. You may say I'm a dreamer, yes, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. Beautiful. Listen, there's a lot of people that believe that this is the utopia that we are to reach. No possessions. Possessions just cause greed, right? Possessions just greed. I like what he says there. He says, imagine all the people sharing all the world. There's no country. There's no individual property. You don't have your own private property. You don't have your own possessions. You don't have your own spouse. We share all things. Sounds like Woodstock. We just share everything. Everything is shared. There's, because there's no morals. There's no religion. There's no God. It's living for the feeling. It's living for the moment. And we're all just sharing things. See, this is socialism. This is communism. And of course, it doesn't end in liberty. It ends in bondage. But this is what so many people embrace and so many people believe because Satan is behind it. There's nothing sacred. We can intrude into it. It's ours for the taking. You can have it. Who says you can't? But we have to remind ourselves that there is a heaven. There is a God. There is a hell. There is an eternity. There are angels and there are demons. And when we just go out there and we intrude into things and we trespass, we can get ourselves killed. We can bring ourselves into judgment. For God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. If you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap corruption. You're going to reap destruction. So we have to realize this is a setup from Satan. Satan is setting people up. Just because it's out there, that doesn't mean you have a right to it. Just because people are showing it and willing to give it to you, that doesn't mean you have a right to take it. You have to guard yourself because the world is throwing uncovering everything and laying it all out there for you. And you have to guard yourself and protect yourself from it and say, no, my eyes are too pure for that. I'm holy. And you need to cover yourself. Cover your eyes from those that don't cover themselves. Come on, somebody. We got to cover ourselves. We got to understand there is a thing called privacy. I got news for you. Privacy is a God thing. Privacy. Heaven is not socialism. When you get there, it's not like that. Actually, when you get to heaven, you're going to find out there's mansions. There's mansions. What do you mean? There's places where you can retreat to the privacy of your own home. Everything's just not out there for everybody. There are places in heaven. People have their own possessions. People have their own property. That's what got Lucifer. He got full of all kinds of greed because of his trading, the Bible says in Ezekiel 28. Because the abundance of his trading, there was trading going on. There was buying, there was selling going on. People have their own merchandise, their own property, their own possessions. People are covered. People wear clothing in heaven. People think, you know, you go to one of these tribes out here in Africa, you know, one of these third world countries, and they're running around half naked. Some of them are naked. And they're out there, and you say, well, you see, you know, they haven't been westernized. And so you see, they're just free. They're just free. No, they're worshipers of false demon gods. And they're perverted. And it's demented. And it's twisted. Because that's not the way people are supposed to be. When man sinned in the beginning, God covered him. And they're supposed to be covered. That is not nature. That is not natural. That is perversion. People to be covered. They're covered here on earth. They're covered in heaven. So we have to watch because we live in a world where, a society where nothing is sacred. Everything is everybody's. Everything belongs to everybody. People give themselves away so freely. People get into all kinds of immoral relationships and they go from relationship to relationship and we're going to just live with each other for a little while and try it out and there's nothing sacred. Nothing holy. They're sharing everything with people that are not worthy because they're not committed. They're not committing with their life. And yet you're just going ahead and sharing your life, thus treating yourself as cheap and worthless and not valuable. Cover yourself. Guard yourself. Don't allow yourself to be treated cheap. Put on majesty. Come on, put on majesty. Put on splendor. Put on some worth and value and recognize that you're above that. Somebody say, we're holy. We're set apart for God. You can't touch this. Can you say amen? Let's thank the Lord tonight. Father, thank you so much.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.